Section 5. The divine influence alone can sanctify us. No reading nor any other exercise can sanctify us except in so far as they are the channels of the divine influence. Our whole science consists in recognizing the designs of God for the present moment. All reading not intended for us by God is dangerous. It is by doing the will of God and obeying His holy inspirations that we obtain grace. And this grace works in our hearts through our reading or any other employment. Apart from God, reading is empty and vain, and, being deprived for us of the life-giving power of the action of God, only succeeds in emptying the heart by the very fullness it gives to the mind. This divine will, working in the soul of a simple ignorant girl by means of sufferings and actions of a very ordinary nature, produces a state of supernatural life without the mind being filled with self-exalting ideas. Whereas the proud man who studies spiritual books merely out of curiosity receives no more than the dead letter into his mind, and the will of God having no connection with his reading, his heart becomes ever harder and more withered. The order established by God and his divine will are the life of the soul, no matter in what way they work or are obeyed. Whatever connection the divine will has with the mind, it nourishes the soul and continually enlarges it by giving it what is best for it at each moment. It is neither one thing nor another which produces these happy effects, but what God has willed for each moment. What was best for the moment that has passed is so no longer, because it is no longer the will of God, which, becoming apparent through other circumstances, brings to light the duty of the present moment. It is this duty, under whatever guise it presents itself, which is precisely that which is the most sanctifying for the soul. If, by the divine will, it is a present duty to read, then reading will produce the destined effect in the soul. If it is the divine will that reading be relinquished for contemplation, then this will perform the work of God in the soul, and reading would become useless and prejudicial. Should the divine will withdraw the soul from contemplation for the hearing of confessions, etc., and that even for some considerable time, this duty becomes the means of uniting the soul with Jesus Christ, and all the sweetness of contemplation would only serve to destroy this union. Our moments are made fruitful by our fulfillment of the will of God. This is presented to us in countless different ways by the present duty, which forms, increases, and consummates in us the new man until we attain the plenitude destined for us by the divine wisdom. This mysterious attainment of the age of Jesus Christ in our souls is the end ordained by God and the fruit of His grace and of His divine goodness. This fruit, as we have already said, is produced, nourished, and increased by the performance of those duties which become successively present and which are made fruitful by the same divine will. In fulfilling these duties, we are always sure of possessing the better part, because this holy will is itself the better part. It only requires to be allowed to act, and that we should abandon ourselves blindly to it with perfect confidence. It is infinitely wise, powerful, and amiable to those who trust themselves unreservedly to it, who love and seek it alone, and who believe with an unshaken faith and confidence that what it arranges for each moment is best, without seeking elsewhere for more or less, and without pausing to consider the connection of these exterior works with the plans of God. This would be the refinement of self-love. Nothing is essential, real, or of any value unless ordained by God, who arranges all things and makes them useful to the soul. Apart from this divine will, all is hollow, empty, null. There is nothing but falsehood, vanity, nothingness, death. The will of God is the salvation, health, and life of body and soul, no matter to what subject it is applied. One must not, therefore, scrutinize too closely the suitability of things to mind or body in order to form a judgment of their value, because this is of little importance. It is the will of God which bestows through these things, no matter what they may be, an efficacious grace by which the image of Jesus Christ is renewed in our souls. One must not lay down the law, nor impose limits on this divine will, since it is all-powerful. Whatever ideas may fill the mind, whatever feelings afflict the body, even if the mind should be tormented with distractions and troubles, and the body with sickness and pain, nevertheless, the divine will is ever for the present moment the life of the soul and of the body. In fact, neither the one nor the other, no matter in what condition it may be, can be sustained by any other power. The divine influence alone can sanctify us. Without it, bread may be poison, and poison a salutary remedy. Without it, reading only darkens the mind. With it, darkness is made light. It is everything that is good and true in all things, and in all things it unites us to God, who, being infinite in all perfections, leaves nothing to be desired by the soul that possesses him.